So this morning, we're going to continue from where we stopped last week, and we're looking at the series which we titled Finding Jesus. We're looking at the third part today. So what we're trying to do with this series is just not look at the birth of Jesus Christ, which is quite important, but we look at it from the very beginning, and some of the things we examined to give us a big picture was, why did Jesus have to come? And the first thing we looked at was the actual beginning in the Garden of Eden, where God actually spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ to address the issue of sin coming into the world, the issue of death, and the issue of the devil dominating man. So we looked at that at great length. Last week, we also looked at the actual birth of Christ. We looked at the fact that when he was born, Herod, the king at that time, tried to kill him. And we said, well, that's the same way that, you know, Satan tries to, well, in that instance, Satan wanted to ensure that the what God had said in the beginning about Christ coming to crush his head would not happen. So he tried to do a preemptive strike, so to speak, in order to try and, you know, make that not happen. But God saw to it that his plans for Christ still came to pass. So that's where we stopped last week. This week, we're just going a step further, and we're looking at the actual finding of Jesus Christ. If you look at this picture on the screen there, it typifies the story of Christmas, where we have some wise men, Bible says, from the east, who are looking for Christ. So today we want to focus on the actual finding of Christ. And we'll look at three areas this morning. We'll look at why were the wise men looking for Christ? Why do people look for Christ? We'll just point out some reasons there based on the text that we'll be reading. Second thing we'll be looking at is finding the truth. Finding the truth. When we get there, I'll explain that in more detail. And the third thing we'll be looking at today is the path to finding Christ, all based around the context of the story. So if you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 12. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. So it's the story of how Christ, well, how the men, the wise men, came from the east and were looking for Christ. So it's slightly lengthy, but I'm just going to read it anyway, so you can follow me on the screen by reading that. Or if you want to open your Bibles and read from your Bible, it's fine as well. I'll read Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. It says, after Jesus was born, I'm reading from the NIV version. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophets had written. And verse 6 says, but you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means the least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. So, just to give us a summary, I've just read the nativity story. It's a very popular story. And we saw here that the Bible says that some wise men came from the east, when they said the east, that meant east. Very far country. And, you know, mind you, in those days, they didn't have trains. They didn't have mobile phones. And these guys were just going on the fact that they saw a star and they just followed it. They must have gone through hills, probably through the desert. There were no hotels in those days. So they went through a lot. It wasn't just like, you know, getting on the train at Temple Mead and saying, okay, I'm off to London. No, it was a very difficult journey. They must have faced all sorts of things on the way. But that's not the point I want to make this morning. The Bible says that when they got to Israel, they said, okay, we're looking for a king. They went to the palace because they said, they figured in their mind that, look, if a king is to be born or if a king has been born, then obviously the first place that we should look for this king is the palace. And they went to the palace. And the person who was the king at that time was a man called Herod. And Herod said, hang on, I'm the only king here. Who are you looking for? No, they said the king has just been born. That's the king we're looking for. And Herod called the priests, the people who were looking after, well, who had the Bible in those days, the people who probably would have known where Christ should have been born. But these guys didn't know where Christ was, you know, they didn't know, in fact, they weren't even aware that he had been born at all. But they brought out the Bibles that they had, and they said, okay, what did the Bible say about the birth of Christ? And they read from the book, from the Bible, and it said the king will be born, and the description in Judea and in Bethlehem. Well, the wise men continued. They said, well, we haven't found him here. We'll carry on our search. And they carried on their search. The Bible tells us that as they left, they now saw the star that they had been following. I'm not quite sure how that happened. And it led them to where Christ was. And the Bible says when they found Christ, they were so overjoyed and they bowed down and worshipped him, the small child that they found. So that's the story. So I just want to look at three things today. You know, in the context of the story, I'll look at why were the wise men, or this Magi, the Bible refers to them as, why were they looking for Jesus Christ? Do you understand? And I guess it's the same question I'm going to put to us, as in, why do we think people look for Christ? I'll highlight some things here. Then after that, I'll look at finding the truth. Then thirdly, the path to finding Christ. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 that we read that the wise men were looking for Christ to worship him. The Bible says they left their country. And the main reason why they left their country and went through all the risks that they went through was because they were looking for Christ, for one reason, to worship Christ. Now, so that's one reason. So we find that there are people that look for Christ, and in the modern days that we're in, and they just want to know God. They want to worship God. Maybe you're here as well. You know, we're gathered this morning, and, you know, we're gathered as a church because we want to worship Christ. We want to know more about God. So that was their reason. They came because they wanted to worship Christ. And that's why they came. Now, morning, grab a seat. Now, we look at, so that was one set of people looking for Christ to worship him. We look at another set of people as well, the scribes and the teachers of the law. Bible tells us that when, you know, these wise men arrived at the palace, Herod was quite confused. He said, okay, this king, someone must know about him. Let's look for the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the people who actually had the Bible with them. And they searched. But there's something I want to point out about these guys, these people who had the Bible then. They were not aware that Christ had been born. And they gave all the facts and the figures about Christ. They said he will be born in a particular place, in Judea, you know, they had all the facts about Christ. They had all the knowledge about Christ. The key word here being about. But Christ himself, they had no knowledge of. How does this relate to us now? Do you know that you can know all about Christ? You can know the Bible. In fact, there are people who study the Bible. They're professors. You might know all the stories in the Bible. You might know about Christ, that he was born in a manger, and all those things. You might have all the accurate dates about Christ, but not know him at all, like these guys. Now, there was a guy that was making a comparison, and he said, sometimes, like these guys in the Bible, these scribes and Pharisees, we know about people, but we don't really know them. And he gave a really interesting example. He said it's like the teenager that has the picture of his popular musician in his room. Let's say, for example, let's even say basketball person, Michael Jordan. You've got this guy, he loves basketball, he loves Michael Jordan, he's got Michael Jordan's, sorry, I don't know if, I think Michael Jordan is like slightly, I don't know who the newer ones, but in my day it was Michael Jordan. I think now you have like much younger. So he's got the picture of Michael Jordan in his room. He's got the poster. He can tell you Michael Jordan's age, where he was born, his favorite meal, his favorite color, his what he likes, you know, where he shops, the city he lives in, and every single minute detail, the music that Michael Jordan likes, the colors he likes, the shoes he likes, all the details. In fact, if you said anything slightly insultive about Michael Jordan, his poster star, he could even get in an argument with you and say, no, hang on, no, Michael isn't that way. He likes green, not purple. Then you ask him the question, do you know Michael Jordan? Have you met him before? And he says, no, have you met him? And he owns up and says, no, I have not met him. The same way with these guys, they knew all about Christ. They knew where he would be born. And that was where it ended, knowledge of Christ. No, knowledge about Christ, not really knowing Christ. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is a season where, if you look around you, there are lots of Christmas lights. Everybody's like shopping across the road there, giving gifts, saying happy, a Merry Christmas. So a lot of us know about Christ, like these guys, but we do not know him. Do you understand? That's the category that these guys fell into. So we're looking at, why were these men looking for Christ? Why do people look for Christ sometimes? So we've said some people, looking at these magi, the wise men, because they were looking for Christ because they actually wanted to know Christ and to worship him. Another category, well, they just had knowledge, but no real understanding. They hadn't met Christ. And they weren't actually interested in meeting him. They were just fine. They didn't say, let's look for him. They just said, well, we know enough. You know what I mean? I know he was born in a manger, but that's enough. I don't want to know anymore. That's where they stopped. Now, we have the third category of people who might be looking for Christ for another reason. This one is a slightly more sinister reason. And that's, we looked at the King Herod in this instance. Herod told the wise men, he said, look, secretly, when you find Christ, can you please come and tell me so that I too may worship him? But that was not his plan. In his mind, he was like, look, there's only one king here, and that king is moi, me. And he said that because he wanted them to tell him where Christ was so he could go and kill Christ. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that when these wise men didn't come back to Herod to tell him where Christ was, he sent out a whole army to kill every boy below the age of 2. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is this. We could look for Christ for different reasons. There are so many reasons, but in the context of the story, we've identified three reasons why people might be looking for Christ. One, the first group, to really know him, to worship him from our hearts. The other one, well, I just know the stories of Christ, and that's enough for me. And the other group, not really interested in Christ, but to just discredit Christ, discredit the Christian faith. You know? That's one category. But I'm not going to stop there. So that's the first part. Now, the next part I want to look at is finding the truth. Still in the context of the story that we're looking at. These guys, the wise men, were looking for the truth. Because I can't imagine what would cause grown men to leave their country. No mobile phones, no means of communication. Going through probably the desert, going through hills. And in those days, mind you, it was pretty dangerous to travel around because you could be, you know, kidnapped, seized on the road. So they went through a lot. When they got to Jerusalem as well, and they realized that, hang on, we've been to the wrong place. This king we're looking for isn't here. They still continued. That's because they were looking for something. They were looking for truth. They got to the point where what they had was not enough. They were not just satisfied with the status quo. They were not satisfied with just hearing about Christ. They were not satisfied with just wishing, oh, how I knew more about Christ. They were not satisfied with just going through life. The grind and the, I'll call it the roller coaster of life, the factory belt of life where you're born and you're at one end and you just go through day by day by day. And, you know, you grow up and at the end, you die. They were not satisfied with that. They wanted to find out what the truth was. Do you understand? Finding truth. Now, what is the truth? John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus began to say something here about what the truth is. John chapter 14, verse 6. On the screen here, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus began to tell us here that, look, he is the truth. He is the way. He's not a truth. He's not a way. He says, I am the truth. So when these men came to the palace, they were not just satisfied with the fact that, look, we have knowledge here. We know about this. No, they wanted the truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Now, the next thing I just wanted to mention is that these guys were looking for the truth who Jesus said he is. But as they were looking for the truth, guess what happened to them? They looked for it in the wrong place. They looked for the truth in the wrong place. Now, why am I saying they looked for the truth in the wrong place? Because they assumed that, look, if we're looking for a king, the king should be in the palace. So they had these preconceived ideas to say, okay, look, a king, palace, it goes together. And they just followed what they thought was the case. But unfortunately for them, what they thought took them to the wrong place. Do you understand? Now, how does this apply to us now? Well, the way it applies to us is this in the 21st century is, you know, I've met a lot of people who are sincere in their quest for truth. They're sincere in their quest for God. Do you understand? They're really sincere people. However, they've looked in the wrong place. They've looked in the wrong place, like these men. You know, some people have looked to spirituality. They've said, look, God is universal, impersonal. God is a force. Do you understand? And that's God to me. Wrong place. Some people have said, okay, look, we'll look to Buddhism. We'll look to animism. We'll look to even circular humanism. Man is God. I am God in myself. God is in me. And they're absolutely sincere. Do you understand? Absolutely sincere. But they've looked in the wrong place like these men. Why? Why have they looked in the wrong place? So how do I know they've looked in the wrong place? Because Christ said John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth. No. He didn't say that. So these guys ended up in the wrong place, but they didn't end there. They didn't stop there. They didn't park there. It's okay. We'll just live with this. They went on and they found Christ. Finding the truth. Now, the other thing that occurred to me as well is this. Do you know that if these guys had stopped at the palace and they said, look, we've traveled so far, you know, and I mean, come on, we've given it a real go here and we've ended up in the palace and this Jesus that we're looking for, this king, isn't in a palace. Let's just call it quits. Let's go back home. How are we sure we haven't even wasted our time? Do you understand? How are we even sure this is really real? They could have ended there. You know? But they didn't. Now, why did they continue? I don't know. They could have had a number of motivating factors. But let's look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36. So we're looking at finding Jesus. Why were these men finding Jesus? Mark chapter 8, verse 36. You know, the Bible says something here. It says, what good is it for a man or woman to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So these guys, I believe, realize, well, I'm just presuming here, probably thought, okay, what's the point of my life? What's the point of life, really? Maybe the same question I'll ask us today. What's the point of life? What is your life about? What is my life about? Is life just about getting up every day, doing the same thing? Day after day, day after day. Is that what life is about? The Bible tells us that, what does it profit a man? Of what good is it for a man to go through life and to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So this tells us that there is something more to life. There is more to life than what we see. There is a spiritual part to life. Your soul lives on when you die. Your soul is alive now. And the Bible is telling us here, what use is it? If you attain everything that you want to attain on the earth here, but you forfeit your soul, you do not find the truth in Christ. It says there's no point. All right, so I'll move to the final part and I'll close in about 5 or 7 minutes. So we've looked at why the wise men were looking for Christ. We've looked at finding the truth. Now, the part I just want to look at now, and I'll close in about 5-7 minutes, is the path to finding Christ. You know, one thing I saw in the story is this. It's not always obvious, the path to finding Christ. It's not always obvious at all. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And it says here, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now, what this is saying is that finding the truth, finding Christ, is not always obvious. And what do I mean by that? Like these wise men, there were so many options open to them. There were so many opinions open to them. There were so many things open to them. And it was like, I think that's the case. I think this is how I'm going to do it. But it wasn't obvious. I've come across talking to a lot of people, and I say, what do you think about Christ? What do you think about God? What do you think about church in general? And, you know, people give me different opinions, you know, which are valid. Some people will say, well, I think the church is this. I think the church is that. Okay, I said, okay, no problem. What do you think about God, about Christ himself? And they give me different opinions. You know, valid ones. But what I realized talking to a lot of people is that it's not obvious to us that the way to finding Christ is so simple, yet not very obvious. The same thing for this wise men that we saw in our text. It wasn't really obvious to them. In fact, it wasn't even obvious to everybody around them, millions of people, that finding Christ would be different from looking in the obvious places. It wasn't obvious at all. Now, the other thing I see in this Bible passage that we read is that apart from the fact that it wasn't really obvious how they would find Christ, there was something that these guys had, which is so key, and it's something called faith. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith. Now, what is faith? Well, faith is trust. Faith is saying, you know, you can use it in a phrase and say, look, I have faith in you. That means, well, you trust that person to do something. The same way these guys had faith. They had faith in the fact that, look, we're not quite sure where we're going, but there's one thing. We believe that Christ, this king that the Bible is that we're looking for, we believe he exists. We haven't seen him. The only indicator that we have is this star that we've been following. I mean, if we put it in context, if someone came to you and knocked on your door, and they're really excited and they're like, oh, you know what? Pack your bags, my friend, and we're going on a journey. And they're like, and you ask them, oh, fine. Have you got the tickets? Are you taking me to on holiday somewhere? They're like, no, I'm not taking you on holiday anywhere. And they're really excited. They said, look, you know what, right? Pack your bags. We're gonna be gone for about 3 months. And you're excited. It's like, probably this person has come into a lot of money, and they say, no, you know what? And you calm them down, and you say, okay, look, what is it? Where are we going? Tell me. And they say, you know what? I saw a star just right out of my house. And you know what? That star is going to lead us to Christ. You guys are looking at me like, really? Really? Yeah, really. I'll be like, you know what, right? You need to get a couple of cups of cappuccino, lattes, and true. But you know, that's exactly what these guys did. They left just based on that. Now, why did they do that? They did that because they believed, even though they weren't quite sure how they would, you know, if they believed that God existed. They believed that Christ existed, even though they hadn't seen him. There was no physical direction, so to speak. Do you understand? They believed, and that's what the Bible calls faith. Faith that, look, we don't see God. Unless someone here has seen God. We don't see God, but we believe in God. We believe he exists, even though we haven't seen him. That's what the Bible calls faith. And that's one thing that you need to find Christ. The same way these guys did. Faith, believing in a God that you cannot see. But there's something in your heart, in our hearts, that we can extend in faith. And the same way that these guys found Christ, we can find Christ that way as well. Now, lastly, the last thing I want to mention here is on that path to finding Christ. This guy, I mentioned that it wasn't obvious the way to find Christ. We said they had to have faith, which we need. The last thing is this. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. In the quest to find Christ, there's one, this is the last point I need to make. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what does that mean? These guys had to personalize their quest for Christ. It was a personal thing. It wasn't a case of, okay, you go ahead and worship Christ on my behalf. No. It was a personal thing. So each person looking for Christ had to make the journey by themselves. Well, they had to make the journey as well. You know, we heard the story that there were actually three wise men. Well, I'm not quite sure. The Bible doesn't say how many there were, but I'm sure there were at least two. Let's go with two. One of them could have said, well, let's take three. That's the, one of them could have said, look, you know what, guys? I've been traveling. When you get there, just say hello to Christ for me. Worship him on my behalf. You know what I mean? He could have done that. But he didn't. Or they didn't. They all went in person to Christ. And they worshiped him. So in closing, what am I saying here? Our quest for Christ, our knowledge to find Christ, or finding Christ, is a very personal thing. It's not something that your friend can do for you. It's not something that your brother or your sister or your parents can do for you. Some people say, well, when I was younger, I was baptized in church, and when you were a baby, and okay, that's fine. But I'm talking about now that you're an adult or semi-adult, you're a teenager. It's a personal thing that you have to do by yourself, like the same way these guys did. So it's a personal belief that you as an individual have to make. You have to, as the Bible says here, call out unto Christ personally. You have to have faith as an individual, trust as an individual that God exists. And this God that exists, I want to reach out to him. And how do you reach out to him? Simple. Just call. Call here says ask. Call unto him. And he'll answer you. Amen. I'm going to stop here. But I'm going to ask us to pray.